Turn, if you will, in your Bibles, and we'll jump in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, let's just look at verse 7. I hope this will tie in. I know it ties into where we are, because it is where we are. The place in Exodus where the children of Israel are here in chapter 3 is the place where the children of Israel are here in Mark chapter 1. Only in Exodus 3, they're under the boot of Egypt, and in Mark chapter 1, they're under the boot of Rome. So there's really no difference between where we were then and where they are in Mark chapter 1, where we are in our study. And there's a question for them. And it's also kind of a question for us. And I preached a message on this. I don't usually do topical messages, but kind of back during the COVID days, I did preach quite a few messages that were topical in nature. And one of the messages was, what do you want? What do you want? You know, that's really a question that I think we ought to ask ourselves constantly, consistently, and then evaluate what our answer is. Evaluate what our answer is. What is my answer to that question? What do I want? You want a track hawk? If you don't know what that is, it's a 700 horsepower Jeep. What do you want? What is it that drives you? Here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Notice there the word my. Okay? My people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Flash forward to Mark chapter 1, and think about what I just read. Okay? We're there. I mean, we're 2,000 years further, but I'm trying to put you back there in Capernaum, okay? We're there. The circumstances are slightly different, but the cry is the same, okay? Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them, and that goes to the question of what did they want? Okay, now, turn forward to Exodus chapter 16. Verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, notice what they say, okay? Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Did God do that? Did he bring them into the wilderness to kill them with hunger? No, he did not. And here in Mark chapter 1, in Christ's early part of his ministry, the cry of the people is the same cry as the cry back then. And they want the same things that they wanted back then. All of these people that come under the influence of Christ's ministry, come under the hearing of the gospel, they all want something. They're preached, the same message was preached back then, it was preached in Mark chapter 1, and is preached now. And the question is, what do you want? Okay? Christ goes into the synagogue in Capernaum. First, he goes into Nazareth. And we distinctly get the gist or the main outline of the message in Nazareth. And that is, God doesn't have to keep giving it to us over and over again through the life of Christ, because it never changes. To preach the gospel to the poor. Remember that? Yeah. That message never changes. The question is what do the people want? What do they want here? And what do they want now? And you know what? Nothing changes. Nothing changes. The only thing that doesn't change is God. But when it comes to people, when it comes to us, nothing changes. There's a cry in our land today for change. There's a cry in our land today to be delivered. And the question is, what do they really want? What do they really want? You know, here in Exodus chapter 16, what do they do here? And the children of Israel said, verse 3, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did to eat bread to the full. And what were they doing? They were looking back to the flesh pots. I really don't want to get totally distracted by this today, because this is my jumping spot, and really I want to keep moving on. But my question is, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever looked back to the flesh pot in your life? Please don't pop them halos. Because you have. We all have. I've found myself in recent days, recent months, glancing back. And you know what the old flesh says? Flesh pots? Remember that? Yeah. How often do we do that? At the end of the day, what do we want? What do we want? Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 1, and we'll go to where we are. And where we are in Mark chapter 1 is where they were in Exodus chapter 16. Exactly. Exactly. Their hearts are no different. They are the same. Because the heart of man is the heart of man. in Mark chapter 1, and I'll just read through this quickly. Let's start at verse 32. I don't want to go back to Peter's wife's mother. We hit that. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. I'll read the two companion verses in the harmony of the Gospels. In Matthew 4:16, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with any sick. That night, at the setting of the sun, Jesus did what I've talked about a few times. He cleared out the hospital, even though they didn't have a hospital. He emptied the hospital of Capernaum. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, let's get something perfectly clear as we go through this study. Jesus heals all that come to him. And I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to give me an answer. Okay? Out loud. Were they all saved? Yes or no? That's right. They were all healed, but they weren't all saved. All these people that came to him that night were not all believers. They believed in the sign, in the miracles, but what about what he said in the synagogue earlier that day? And the question comes as well, what is the most important thing? I preached that message, I think, once before too. What is the most important thing? What he preached earlier that day, or the entire city that he healed at sunset? What's more important? What was the most important thing? The most important thing is what he preached earlier that day. Not what he did, what he said. Okay? What he did backed up and confirmed what he said. And at the end of that day, the whole city was at Peter's door. You can't imagine that. At 12:30, when it's time to go home, we're all driving to Ronnie's house. Every single one of you. By the way, I'm going to invite the church next door too. At 12:30, I think I'll hit First Baptist down on the corner too. All three of our churches are driving to Ronnie's house. I'm going to call them and them right now and tell them we're driving to Ronnie's house as soon as church is over. You just got done doing Sunday school. You ready for that, Ronnie? Every one of them has a need. Every one of them wants to see you about something. Every single one of them wants to talk to you about a need. And every single person you talk to takes a little piece out of you. So how you gonna be come 3, 4 o'clock? No, you can't do that. Can't do that. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. So the whole city comes. The whole city comes to Peter's home. And it doesn't say, you know what it does say? It says he never turned a single one of them away. All right? Now, how long did that take? How long did that take? All of them were healed.
Verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. I'm sure it went well into the night. This is a big day. Started in the morning with the church service in the synagogue, the assembly. It ends late into the night. And I'm sure that there might have been even people still coming. I don't know. At a certain point in time, I think Peter might have closed the door. I don't know. But all that came were taken care of. All that came were healed. And all that came possessed with devils had those devils removed by Christ, because devils don't leave of their own accord. So not only did Christ heal, everyone possessed with a devil was another battle. So he fights for hours with the forces of evil, with devils, rebuking each one of them, telling them not to speak. And when the night finally ends, well, it's into the morning by now. Maybe, just maybe, let's keep reading. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because he knew them. Matthew said, and when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Luke says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And we know from the woman who touched his garment that every time he did this, virtue went out of him. Okay? Virtue went out of him. He actually felt it that day. And all she did was touch his clothes. He's touching these people. He's healing them. He's doing battle with the forces of hell for hours on end until the entire city is taken care of for now. Because everything he did in those hours was temporary. You're going to get sick again. There are people that are going to open that door to those demons again. Because not everybody that was healed was what? That's right. That's right. Now look at verse 35. And here we can concentrate a little more on Mark and particularly on Luke chapter 4. And if you want to stick your finger in Luke chapter 4, we'll flip back and forth to the two. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. How much sleep did he get? You know what he got? You got your Sunday afternoon nap, Ronnie. And mine sometimes. That's what he got. That's all he got. And you know, as we go through his ministry, the Bible doesn't tell us everything because it says not all the books couldn't contain everything. He did this day after day after day after day. Nonstop. Nonstop. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. Luke says, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place where you are, says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a, there's two descriptions of it, a desert place and a solitary place. So he went out into the desert to be what? Alone. On purpose. With purpose. Okay? Alone.
He retired. Solitary means retired. Remote from society.
Can we retire anymore with these phones? Can we? Can we get remote from society anymore? Because if you try it and you don't answer a text, your buddy's going to be mad at you. I've heard it before. Yeah. What's the matter? Don't you answer your text? No, sometimes I don't. I try not to go too long. I try not to go too long. But because I realize there are needs. But sometimes, it's time to go to the desert in a solitary place. On purpose, for a purpose. All right? And the devil has made that almost impossible in the day and age that we live in.
Amen.
Almost impossible. If not impossible. But it's not impossible. Because it really depends on me. Am I willing to do this? Am I willing to make this? You know what it is? It's a sacrifice in a way. But it's biblical. Ain't it? Why is it biblical? Because Jesus did it. Let's look a little more at this. And in the morning, arising up a great while before day, I'll confess to you all, I am not a morning person. Just ask her. Now, I don't lay in bed till 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock either. Because that's a problem. But I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning either. 7 to 7:30 is usually my time. All right? I'm not a morning person. But there's something to be said about getting alone with God in the morning at the start of the day. Now, I'm not throwing stones in this message. I'm preaching to me because I've been under conviction for days. Yeah. I'll give you all the bag of rocks you want and let you freely pitch them. Just don't hit me with any really big ones. Just get them tiny little pebbles and throw them at me. All right? And then David talked about getting alone with God early before the day gets started. Here, I believe we have a great example by our Savior that we should strive to mimic. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And what did he do? Which I don't do. We don't do. He prayed. And it ain't this. It ain't this. This isn't what he went out there and prayed. Why did he need to do what he did? Why did he need to get alone with God? Because really what prayer is supposed to be, it's supposed to be talking to God. I talk to my wife. My wife talks to me. If we don't talk to each other, there's something going on, right?
That's right.
Amen. Right? And I say I love God. I say I love my wife. I say I love God. I talk to my wife.
but I don't talk to him. And God's like, well, what's the matter with you? You say you love me, but you don't talk to me. You say you love me, but you don't talk to me. See what I mean?
I'm not throwing stones. And I'm not going to say I'm going to go out of here and tomorrow morning do this. Because I know my flesh.
I'm just saying, the Bible says, because of the example of Christ, that we should. And he says, if you love me, yeah.
Hurts, don't it? Hurts me. Because I fall way short in this area.
And then I wonder why things are going the way they're going in certain areas of my life. Why? I'll tell you why.
Because I'm on that phone too much. Mm-hmm. Because that business is more important. Even though it's not more important, it is more important. Because I make it that way. And it's sin. And it's wrong. And I'm suffering spiritually for it. And so are you.
Amen, Pastor. Help us. Amen.
And he went out and departed into a solitary place. He got alone. You know, it even says, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. They had to go out and look for him. Look for him.
As this world continues to spiral into both religious apostasy and moral decline, it will suck the virtue from us. And if we don't get on that 4-amp lithium battery charger and recharge, we will run out. And there's something about lithium batteries, unlike nickel metal hydrate and NiCads. Lithium batteries, when they run out, guess what? They're done. You can't recharge them. If you let them go to zero, you cannot recharge them. I've managed to salvage a few in my life, but just a few that had just enough of a charge in them to where I could get a trickle in there and get it started again. But for the most part, when they run down, they're done. New Testament talks about being a castaway, being shipwreck. You're shipwreck and you're a castaway when your battery goes to zero, because you're not going to be the same again. And I've seen Christians like that. They'll never be the same again. They'll never be the person they were. And I believe most of it stems to right here. Right here.
He went out into a solitary place and there prayed. And Luke says, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And notice, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from him. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. He was tired beyond belief. Yet he rose early and quietly stole out of the house, out into this place. He had just had a day. I'll be honest with you. It was a good day, wasn't it? That day in Capernaum was a good day. The church, the assembly, heard the gospel. A demon was cast out of a man in the church. A family member
was raised to health. The whole city hospital was cleaned out. And Jesus chose to start the next day alone with God, in prayer, talking to God, getting strength. See, I believe that's why we are so weak today. I believe that's why our assemblies are so weak. I believe that's why our testimony is so weak, is because our batteries are down at about 2, maybe 3 or 4%. Normally, a lithium battery is damaged after it goes below 10 to 15% too many times. You don't ever want to let a lithium battery get below 10 to 15% of its charge level, because damage occurs to the battery. You can still charge it after that, but what you're doing is you're knocking off some of the longevity of that battery and how many times it's going to be charged. And I hate to compare that to people, but you know what? It's scary. As I thought about it, it's scary. Because if we allow that damage to continue and continue and continue and continue, eventually it's not going to be charged again. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're just going to lose any effectiveness whatsoever for ministry for the Lord. You're going to lose your testimony. You're going to lose your effectiveness. And if an assembly allows that to happen, we're just doing it to do it, because we've always done it. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I don't want that. I really don't. I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for my family. And I don't want that for this assembly. I really don't. I kind of hate to move on, because that is so the gist of a lot of this right here. You don't think about, you think about the, our minds always go to the people. But think about Jesus. Here he is, plugging in. He's plugged in.
And the people come and do what? Yank the plug out. All men seek thee.
Isn't that what it says there? And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And in the other verse it says, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from him. You know what stayed means? Opposed, hold down, hold fast, withhold, take, seize. They opposed him. Now I'm thankful that every bit of Jesus is man and every bit of Jesus is God. Whether they yanked the cord out of the wall or not, my Savior kept going. My Savior kept going. That's a wonderful example to me as well. But I want you to notice something. And this is kind of goes to the fact, this goes to this whole thing I'm trying to tie together here with what do you want? What they wanted back in Egypt and what they want now. What do they want here? What do they want here? Why do they want him to come back? Why do the apostles want him to come back? It says, because his fame went out through all the region. What I'm thankful for is that my Savior never responded to the fame. He never responded to the pressure. He did always the will of the Father. Because after all, he's got a good thing going in Capernaum right now. And guess what? The walls are coming out of that synagogue. But the question is, why are they coming out? And why are they coming out? It's because of what the people want. And what they don't want. What they want are things that are temporal. Throw Rome out
and another kingdom will take its place. Get rid of the sickness and you're gonna get sick again. Get the devil out, and if you don't get Christ in, another one, no, seven more are gonna take its place. All right? What did they want? They wanted a miracle worker. They wanted things. And that's not why he came. That's not why he came. Here, he spurns popularity. He weighs it in the balance, and it's found wanting. Because right here, the crowd says, come on back to the city. And notice what Jesus does. And he said unto them, that's verse 37 again. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And in the companion passage in Luke, it says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He never mentions the miracles. He never mentions the healings. He only mentions one thing, and he pushes that to the forefront in this discussion. And that's the preaching of the gospel. That's the preaching of truth. That is the most important thing. Listen, I realize why parents often ask this when they go from one church to another. What do you got for the kids? You know what I got for the kids? I got the same thing for the kids that I got for everybody else. It's the preaching of the Word of God. End of story. The preaching. What do you want? You want the band and the lights and the black walls? Or do you want the Word of God? That is the question for America today. What do you want? You know what they want? They want the miracles. They want exactly what the Jews wanted. They wanted their political views pushed to the forefront. They wanted things. They wanted stuff. They wanted health, wealth, and prosperity, and there's a million preachers preaching that. But there are very few preachers saying, for the wages of sin is death. You'll never hear that come out of Joel Osteen's mouth. Ever. And I'll stand by that one. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also. He took no popularity. And then what he pressed forward with as well was a duty. Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also. And then there last, he pushes forth the preaching. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 16. No, I'm not. I'll find it. Romans chapter 10. I wrote my zero kind of fast, and it ended up a six because I didn't get the bottom of my zero all the way up to the top. You can tell I was writing quick. It's Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 16. And we'll start with my favorite word, the conjunction. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel was preached in the Old Testament.
It is not something that is simply here today. The gospel has been around since the skins were put onto Adam and Eve's naked bodies. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto, what's that say? Went unto means the gospel has covered this earth. Oh, I know we would like to believe that in our time with our jets and our ability to travel today and with our media, we are the only ones that can get it out to the ends of the earth. Garbage! It's been given out to the ends of the earth since day one. And they have rejected it. Day one. What does the Bible say? That's what it says. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. There's nothing good in these multitudes that we're seeing here right now in Scripture at this point in time, other than a bunch of folks who want stuff.
Yes, sir.
Jesus pushes the preaching to the front. Verse 14, go back. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And there have been people preaching all the way back to Abel.
Yes.
Because Abel preached to Cain and he got killed for it. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Just for context's sake, verse 18. So what is the gist of where we are right here? I believe that two groups of people sit in any assembly. Those that are saved and those that are lost. Any assembly. The message to those that are saved are, when's the last time you went to that solitary place? Through this passage right here. When's the last time that you sacrificed sleep? Because Jesus could have slept in that morning, couldn't he? He was probably up most of the night. He could have slept in that morning, but he didn't. Then the next thing you have to say is, to the other group is, what do you want? Verse 18 of chapter 1 of Corinthians says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe?
Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world has had it time and time and time again. I'm tired of people talking about the 1040 zone and all of this stuff, and it's our job to get the... Look, I was a missionary for 15 years. You can't take that away from me, but I'm telling you right now, and I used to say this, you know, all those native people up there want the gospel, and you know what the truth is? They don't. They don't. They don't. They want something else. All of the people that came to Jesus for healing, maybe not all of them, and I'll show you as we study through his life the ones that didn't, that came for more than just that physical healing. But most of them came for one thing, and that thing was temporary, and it was of the flesh, and it never saved them. For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? To save them that believe. Jesus is trying to get a message across here to his disciples. And he said unto them, Mark chapter 1, go ahead back there. Verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may heal there, fix their political problems, remove the boot of Rome. No. That I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. It's the preaching of the gospel that rises to the top in all of Jesus' ministry. And his plugging in early that morning is what kept it going. Christian,
this is for me too, okay? If this is the only time you hit the charger, you're in trouble. And so am I.
Yes, sir.
If this is the only time we hit the charger, we're in trouble. And I don't mean just your daily Bible reading. It's got to be more than that. Because every time it's just this and it ends here, you're damaging your spiritual battery. Mm-hmm. And sooner or later, you're not going to get it charged anymore.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're lost,
don't come to Christ because of your problems. He's not here for your problems. He's here to take your sin away. See, the problems are simply the symptom of the root problem, which is sin. And it's the preaching of the Word of God that gets to the root problem.